If you have your Bible, I would like you to open it to the book of Psalms. Yes. Psalm 34. The 34th Psalm. One of the great, great Psalms of this book. And before I read this Psalm, I want to start with my introduction by giving you the introduction that is listed in the little print. I hope your Bible has this. Just before the Psalm is written in fine print, my Bible says, a psalm of David, which when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. The setting for this psalm, and it's a wonderful thing. And always read those things if you have them in your Bible, and I hope you get a Bible that has them. It's so important. This psalm was born in one of the most awesome moments of David's life. It really begins with David killing Goliath, one of the greatest battles of human history. Here is this mammoth man, Goliath from Gath, Philistine city name, an area named Gath. He was from Gath, and it's Goliath. Huge man. Perhaps no man in the world is as large as he was. He was about 9 to 10 feet tall. It gives his dimensions there in the Bible. Huge thing. Nobody... unbelievable giant. And this tremendous giant, the Philistines, gathered in battle against the Israelites. And then he stood out this day and screamed out, said, "We don't need to fight, all of us fight and get killed. You just send one man up to fight with me. One man. And if I kill him, you will all be our servants. And if he wins and kills me, we will be servants to you." But what it meant being servants meant being slaves. And the women and all of Israel are so frightened. This man stands up twice a day in the morning and screams out to the Jewish people, "Send a man to fight with me." And then again in the afternoon, he does this for 40 days. And the women of Israel and the people are scared stiff because it's mean they're going to be slaves. They're going to be abused, sexually killed, destroyed. Everything will be gone. Their nation will fall and become subject to the Philistines. And nobody will go. And King Saul keeps increasing his offer. Now he says anyone, their family will be tax-free for the rest of their lives. No taxes. That would have brought somebody out, you'd have thought. Nobody came. Then he says, "I'm going to give you my daughter. I'm going to give you one of my daughters. You will be the son-in-law to the king." And nobody responds. David comes. He's just a lad. He is taking care of his father's sheep. He's a teenager and up in his teens. And he comes, and his three brothers, the oldest brothers, are there. And not a one of them volunteers. Not one of them. Nobody. Because to fight with this man, it's impossible. He has an armor bearer in front of him. He is so huge that nobody feels they can even get close to this man. And David hears it, and David says, "Repeat that to me again. He's going to give his daughter for your wife. You're going to be, and your family will be tax-free." And he goes through that again, and his brothers get angry with him. They are all talking to David, and he's asking about it, and he says, "I'll volunteer." So they take him to King Saul, and Saul says, nobody else will, put the armor on him. And boy, he's just a youngster. He's never had this armor on. He's never tried it out. So he says, no, I don't know anything about this armor. I can't do it. But he says to the king, "I fought with a lion. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by the beard and I killed that lion. I caught his head and the power of God came on him and I killed that lion. And a bear came and attacked our flock and I didn't run. I faced the bear." And he said, "The God that gave me the bear and gave me the lion, he'll do the same with this giant." And David walks out with a sling and stops by the brook and picks up five nice smooth stones. He wants a certain kind. Now, he's got to get so close to this giant to get him with a stone, because he's got to be close enough that the armor bearer can't raise his shield and stop the stone. He's got to be so close that he can put that stone to that giant before the guy in front of him can raise the shield. So if he's a long distance, well, the guy's got plenty of time. He'll just take the stones and deflect them. So he's got to get right next to this giant and just by the armor bearer, and just before the armor bearer can lift it up, he's got to get that stone right between his eyes. He's got a helmet on, but his eyes, he can see. So it's got to hit him right between the eyes. He's just got an inch or two to get him. And he's got to do it so quick. And he runs up to that giant and lets go of that stone just before the armor bearer can get him and before the spear can reach him. And knocks that giant down. He falls down, takes off his head with the giant's sword, takes his sword out, takes off his head. And the army of Israel goes crazy. The Philistines run. They conquer them. It is an incredible. Back home, they're all singing. Saul has slain his... They're dancing. The women are dancing because they've got every reason to dance. They're dancing and singing. Saul slayed his thousands, and David has slain his 10,000s he has killed. And they're singing, and they're having such an incredible time, and Saul hears it. And he says, they're attributing only thousands to me and 10,000s to David. He begins to decide to kill him. Then it gets a hold of him. And if you go through the story, he's now some time has passed. He decides to kill him. And he says, okay, I'll give you my daughter. He gives the first one away to someone else. And then finally he finds out that Michael, his daughter Michael, likes him. And so he gives her to him. But he says, you got to kill 100 Philistines, hoping that'll kill him. That doesn't kill him. Now he finds out. Now David is married to his daughter, and he becomes more famous. Well, he handles himself so wisely. Now all of Israel is looking at him. Now King Saul is sure he's going to kill him. He overrides his son Jonathan, who tries to save David, and decides he has the whole army. They're going to kill him. David barely escapes. He goes home to his wife, and she says, get out of here. They're going to kill you. Saul sends him to the house, but she lets him down out through the window, and he escapes. And the next morning, they try to kill him. He's gone. He is fleeing for his life. And now he decides, I'll go to Gath. They won't recognize me. They won't know who I am. So there's several men with him. He has a company of men with him. So they go to Gath, the same place where Goliath is from. But he thinks that they will never suspect that I'm David. David would never be fleeing. They wouldn't suspect me. But when he gets there, the army officers for Gath, the Philistines of Gath, the officers recognize him. This is David. This is King David. And they say to the king, and they call Abimelech here, but really that's a name of a king of England. It's Achish is actually the king's name, that particular king's name. And they say, King, this is David. This is the man they sang about. And they said, Saul has slain, they all knew the song, has slain his thousands. David has killed 10,000. This is the man that killed Goliath, our giant. David hears it. And he knows that the best thing they can do to him is kill him. Saul is trying to kill him. Now Achish and his men, he's afraid they're going to kill him. And his men are scared to death, and he's scared. He is in a double whammy. He's running from Saul. Now he's here and his life, he thinks, is worthless. He decides that he will play a madman. He'll go crazy. And he does. He goes, acts like he's crazy. Lets his spit run all down over his beard. Gets crazy, acts crazy. I suppose he crossed his eyes, did everything, and looked crazy. And it said he got down and scrabbled on the door and wrote crazy graffiti. He did graffiti on the doors. They looked at him, and he looked so, and he really looked crazy. He convinced them. And the king says, we don't need any crazy people. Why did you bring this guy crazy? This man is crazy. He forgets about King David. This is a crazy, an imbecile. Get him out. And David escapes. Oh, when he escapes, at some time later, he writes this psalm. That God, and he tells what happened to him in the psalm. He doesn't describe it in 1 Samuel when he tells the story. He doesn't describe it there. He describes what happened inside of him and his relationship with God at that time. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'll praise God all the time because he's thinking of what has happened to him. His praise, and this is what we should do because of what God has done for us. Listen to this song. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast of the Lord. I'm going to boast about God, not myself, not my talents, not my accomplishments. I'm going to boast on the God that I serve. The humble will hear it and be glad. Proud people don't need God, but humble people need him, so they'll hear it and be glad. And then he invites us, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Here it is. I sought the Lord when Achish was going to kill him and Saul was going to kill him. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. His face was a shame face. But now when he gets his prayer answered and when he comes back and those men escape, boy, their faces shine. He's not a madman anymore. He is smiling from ear to ear. God delivered me. God delivered me. He saved me. He helped me. And they're shouting. This poor man cried out. I sought God, I cried, and the Lord heard me, and he saved me out of all of my trouble. Hallelujah. He saved me, and he says, I sought God when my life was so fragile, and it looked as though I would be killed by Saul, and I'd be killed by King Achish, but God heard me, and I got alone, and I cried out to God, and I prayed, and God helped me, and God delivered me, and hallelujah, and that's the secret for you. When you get in trouble, and your back is against the wall, and fear has you, and is staring you down, cry out to God. Cry out to God. And he will hear you. Hallelujah. He wrote this so that we would know what to do. That's why this is written. That's why he tells this story. That when you get in a fix, you'll know what to do. How many have ever been really struck with fear and faced the end? Let me see your hand. Anybody in here besides me? Well, I've been there several times in my life since I got saved. And I'll speak about that a little later. Then he tells you how, in verse 7, how God does it. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those that fear him and delivers them. The angels deliver you. The angels deliver you. Hallelujah. Thank God for angels. We don't realize there's angels watching over all of us. The angel of the Lord encamps around. He stays all around you. The angel of the Lord encamps, meaning he moves in. He stays there. He's camping out with you. And you're moving around, so the angel is moving around. Angels are with us. And people don't realize, he says, the angel delivers me. The angel did it. Angels delivered me. Angels deliver you. Praise God. I'm thank God for angels. You got to realize, God, angels have saved you and you don't even know it. Has saved you from car accidents. Has saved you on the subway. Has saved you everywhere. Angels have watched over you or you wouldn't be here. Praise God. I love the story of Daniel. And Daniel was so beloved by the king, Darius, and of the Medes and Persians, because he was so brilliant and so wonderful, and he was the head of the governors and head of everything, the prime minister. And they hated him, and they decided to make a decree that anyone that prayed to any god or any person for 30 days without going to King Darius, king of the Medes and Persians, that they would be thrown in the lion's den. And they built the king up, and the king signs this foolish decree. It says later that he was so mad with himself, so disappointed when he discovered what he had done. And they find Daniel goes 3 times a day, as busy as he is. He's prime minister of the world. That's the kingdom that ruled the world, Medes and Persians. He's the prime minister, and he takes time 3 times a day to stop and to go and pray. Are you too busy to pray? There's something wrong. Daniel wasn't. And he was prime minister of the whole world. He took time to pray 3 times a day. And every time he prayed, he raised the windows. It says windows, plural. He raised the windows towards Jerusalem in his room and knelt down and lifted his heart and got on his knees 3 times a day and lifted his arms and prayed to God. And of course they heard him. And they came to the king and says, Daniel is praying. They knew Daniel wouldn't stop. They knew Daniel wasn't going to stop. And he knew it would be the lion's den. He knelt and prayed when it was the lion's den. What do you pray? What price do you pay for prayer? He prayed facing the lion's den. Knelt and prayed. God bless him. And the king tried all that day to save him. And he says he was so mad with himself that they tricked him. Then he caught on what had happened. And he tried all day till the sun went down. And finally, the day was over and it had to be done that day and the law couldn't be broken. And they probably stripped Daniel of all of his clothes and cast him into the lion's den. And all night, he says, the king, no music. No eating, no nothing. And he waited all night long. And early before, by the dawning of the morning, he went down, it says, in a lamentable voice, crying, lamenting, so scared, so frightened. And he hollered, Daniel! Daniel! And he's crying. Is the God did you serve? Was he able? Was he able? Did he help you, Daniel? And Daniel says, oh, King, live forever. He's so... I'm fine. And he says, King, God sent his angel and he locked the mouth of the lions. He shut their mouths and I stayed all night with the lions and they were wonderful companions and I'm fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. They took all of those men, I forget how many there were, I forget the number, and their wives and their children, a tremendous crowd, this is how many lions were there. They threw them in, and they never touched the bottom. Gone. The lions destroyed them before they ever hit the ground. That's how fierce and how hungry they were. But with Daniel, he could just pat them like your dog, hallelujah. Because, he said, the angel came and shut their mouth. The angel did it. The angel did it. The angel went in there with him. They surround you. And it's not just Daniel. Hallelujah. We have the angels of God. The angels of God are with you. Hallelujah. My mother-in-law was a wonderful, wonderful woman of prayer, mighty in prayer. And she was going to a prayer meeting, and my wife is the oldest of four. There were four of them born in 4 years. She's only 3 years older than she is. My mother-in-law had four children, and the oldest one was three just every year. For 4 years, she had four children in 4 years. You can imagine how it is to take care of them. And she had them to prayer meeting. And my father-in-law worked all week, was never home. He was a traveling salesman, never came back until Saturday, Friday night. And she took these children to prayer meeting. She sought God. It's tremendous. In those days, the prayer meetings were late, and she was praying late at night. The sleep children were all asleep in the prayer meeting, and she put them in the car. She came home. It's in Maine. It's in the middle of the winter. It's below zero. Terrible weather. She goes to the front door. It's in the middle of the night, way late, and the door is locked, and she left the key. And I mean, I know the door, tremendous lock. And she is scared stiff. What can I do? And she prays in the car with those children. And she prays and says, God, and the Lord sent an angel and unlocked the door. She went back and turned the door. It opened and walked right in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His angels. Angels are the best locksmiths in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I wish I could remember his name. I met him in Europe at a minister's conference years ago. I'd read his story, and I was so anxious to meet this minister, and I met him and spent an afternoon with him at this time. And I can't remember his name. But what happened was he married, in World War II, he married a Jewish girl from Europe. He was in Europe with her. I forget which country. It was in Germany or wherever it was, in one of the countries where they'd taken all the Jews, and he and his wife were escaping. And they finally got through, by the angel watching over, got through to Switzerland. Their money ran out. Absolutely nothing. No money. No money for any food. And with his family. And this story is so tremendous that his children now became well-known children in Europe. And he said, every year they make me tell this story. How that day, on a Saturday morning, with nothing, no food for the family, his wife sat down and wrote out a list of groceries that they always got and just left it on the table. They sat there, looked at each other. Nothing. It was only minutes, and a knock came on the door. And a man dressed in a white robe walked in with these bags of groceries and said, here are your groceries. Here are your groceries. And set them on the table. Never said another thing. They were so stunned. They just sat and looked at him, smiled at him, set the groceries down, and walked back out. He had to pass the window. When he closed the door, there was a long hallway, and their window on the side, they could see out. They ran to the window to see him. When he passed, he never passed the window. When he closed the door, he vanished. An angel. An angel brought the groceries. She looked at the list, and it was exactly everything she had written to the brand, to everything that was there, was on there. Hallelujah. 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 We have angels. We have angels. Angels. Angels are watching over you. Don't ever. David said, the angel of the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. The angels come and deliver us. And you don't need to be near as afraid. And I've been so bothered with fear. Anybody else in here? Three times Satan attacked me once. And three times in my life since I've been serving God. Terrible. Our children were small, and I was fasting and praying. And I'd been fasting 3 days, and Sunday night meeting, I was fasting and seeking God with all of my heart. And Sunday night, I came home and went to bed, and it just as suddenly as if you shot somebody in the head, Satan attacked me with a fear came over me. And instantly, and I began to shake and sweat, and I couldn't sleep, and sleep left me. And days went by. I could not get a few moments, but I was so troubled. And it was Satan attacked me with a destructive attack, I knew. And I didn't go to the doctors. I knew that, and I love doctors and believe in them and use them and thank God for them. But I knew that this was not medical. And I was so distraught. I hit a man with the car while I'm in this shape. I'm driving, and an alcoholic guy jumps out in front of me, and I hit him. And, you know, I feel this guy's body on my car, and I feel, oh, what else is going to happen to me now? And he's so drunk, he don't even know I hit him. That's one time I thank God for alcohol, you know. I helped him up, and he walked off. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm preaching right while this happens, and my car is parked in front of the church, and I hear this tremendous smash, and I know it's my car. I go out, and my car is smashed to bits. Everything was happening to me, and Satan is attacking me. And I prayed, and I said, God, what should I do? And God said, fast 3 more days. I said, God, I'm to pieces. I really don't feel like a fast is the smart thing. He said, you go back and fast 3 more days, and you turn around and you face that devil, and you go back and fast and pray and cry out to God like he did in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 works, people, and go back and cry out to God. And I did, and I sought God with all my heart. I can remember where I sat, where I lay on my face and cried out to God, and God came down and delivered me. And God spoke to me in an audible voice. And wouldn't have been audible to you, but I heard the voice of God. I came home. I was walking that night, way in the night, and praying up and down Ocean Parkway, if anybody lives in Brooklyn. And I was on Ocean Parkway praying. There's a prayer been on that parkway, believe me. And I'm the man that did it. Praise God. And I came back and spoke to Jean and woke her up and said, Jean, it's going to be all right. God just spoke to me. Hallelujah. The angels are going to help us, and we're going to win. And it's because you cry out to God. You seek God. You do what he says in this psalm. Hallelujah. And he will do for you. That's what it is. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. See that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that puts his trust in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. Fear the Lord, a reverential fear. There is no want to those who fear him. I didn't write that. God wrote that. God Almighty, that created the heavens and the earth, that created you, that's created everything. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord our God, Jesus Christ. There is no want to those who fear him. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Young lions lack, the young ones, the ones that can kill anything. They lack, they go hungry. But those who seek the Lord with all of their heart, I'm adding that, but it's implied, shall not lack any good thing. Say any. Say it loud. Amen. We shall not lack any good thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The provisions are there. God doesn't want you to lack any good thing. Now, you may want some things that aren't good for you, and you won't get them. But anything that's good for you, he's going to give it to you when you seek him with all of your heart. with everything there is within you. Praise God. Come. This is an invitation. Now listen. Come, you children. Listen to me. Listen. And I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is he talking about? Reverential fear. A fear because you have such love for God that you don't want to offend him. You don't want to offend him. I just heard a story this week, two or three days ago, of this young lady that was a wonderful, beautiful young lady and a wonderful Christian. But before she got saved, she had some episodes that were wrong, terrible. She fell in love with this young man. He loved her. He was a great young man, a godly, outstanding young man. And in being honest with him, she told him what she had done, and it broke her heart. He decided that maybe he wouldn't marry her. And she was so crushed. She was a wonderful, because she didn't want to hurt him. But she felt, I had to be honest. I had to be honest. To be honest. But, you know, he prayed about it. He was a godly man, and he married her. And they were very successful and have wonderful children. But it was interesting because of her tremendous love. You know, she didn't want to offend. And when you really love somebody, you don't want to offend them. If you're keeping company and you really love somebody, you're careful what you do and what you say. That's the kind of reverential fear. It's a fear out of love because you don't want to hurt God. You don't want to do the things. You're not careless. If you really love God, you're not careless. If you're careless, then you don't have the right kind of love. Then you're not in the category we're talking about. He says, and I will teach you. Who is the man or the woman? Who is the person who desires life? Who in this building tonight loves life and desires life and loves many days that you might live a long time and that you might see good? You love life, you love many days, and you want to see a good life. You want to see good. Here's the secret. Keep your tongue. Your tongue and your speech has to do with the length of your life. Keep your tongue from evil. Because your heart, your tongue represents your heart and your emotions and your soul. So if you've got evil coming out of your mouth, there's evil inside of you. Keep your tongue and your lips from speaking guile or untruth or deceit. Depart from evil. Flee evil. Evil TV, evil pictures, evil thoughts, evil conversation, evil people, immoral, evil, wrong, hate, whatever it is, run from it. Stay away from evil. Walk away. Flee evil. In your thinking, in your life, in your conduct. Do good. Let goodness come out of you. Do good to everybody. Be good to everybody. Everybody. Seek peace. Not a pieces. Peace. Some people are pieces maker, and others are peacemakers. Join the peacemaker. Bring peace. Put it together. Love good. Pursue peace. Pursue goodness. Go after the right things. Turn away from the wrong. And you'll have the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. And I've got news for you. His eyes are on everybody. And his ears are open to their cry. Now, when you've talked wrong And then you come out and you pray and you think God didn't hear that. He only hears this. Who do you think God is? Who do you think God is? What kind of understanding of God do you have? That he only turns you on when you pray? He's been listening to you all day. Your prayer has to represent what you are. And if there's something wrong, ask God to forgive you. Get it right. Get it right. Because you want your prayers to be heard. Praise God. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those that do evil, talk evil, act evil. To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Say all.
All.
All their troubles.
All.
Say all again.
All.
All of your troubles, your financial troubles, your spiritual troubles, your physical troubles, your family troubles. He delivers us out of all of our troubles. All of it. Hallelujah. The Lord is near to those who are of a broken heart. He's near to you when your heart is broken. He's near to you and saves such as have a repentant, contrite, repenting spirit. Now that I'm saved, I won't have much trouble. Now that I'm saved, my troubles are past. Now, and we preachers kind of give that message. You kind of get that message in a lot of circles. Now that you're saved, everything will be all right. Your troubles are all over. I have news for you. That's not what the book says. Be sure you listen to this verse. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Everybody say many.
Many.
Say it loud.
Many.
Many. Many troubles for the righteous. Oh, I thought now that I'm saved, my troubles are over. No. You're going to have trouble just like you had. The only difference is, but the Lord delivers them, him out of them all. Hallelujah. 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 He delivers you out of them all. I love that all, because the devil always says, yeah, he helped you then, but he won't help you now. That's a lie. That's a lie. The book says he delivers you out of all of your trouble. Satan can throw them at you, but the angel is there. The Lord is there. He's going to hear your prayer. He's going to take care of you out of all of your trouble. Come on, let's shout tonight and thank him for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He guards all of his bones. They quoted that over Jesus. Not one of them is broken. Evil slays the wicked. Those who hate the righteous are condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants. We're redeemed. And none of those that trust in him will ever be condemned. Hallelujah. 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 We're never going to be condemned. When we stand at the judgment bar at the end of the day, whenever that day comes, sooner or later, whenever it comes, when you stand there, you will never be condemned because you're trusting in him. You had the fear of the Lord. You cried out when you had trouble. And what are you supposed to do? How the verse started off, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me out of all of my trouble. And that's what He wants to do for you. And that's why this psalm is written, because He is the same God today. He wants to do that psalm for you. Learn that psalm. Get it into your spirit and realize, children, I will teach you what is this reverential fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil. Praise God. Do good. Seek peace. Hallelujah. Don't let your lips speak anything wrong. Pray over. Well, I have a quick temper, yeah, but God can heal that too. He can touch your lips with, like He did Isaiah, with a coal from off the altar. He wants to touch our lips with the Holy Spirit and with a touch and with the love of God. He wants to touch our hearts and our minds, and He wants us to shine like a light in this world. And at the end of the day, we're going to spend eternity with Him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What do you do when you have trouble? Cry out and trust God, and the angels will come. Pastor, come and bring us down. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And if you've had any amount of time to walk with God, you know the truth of that verse tonight. You know that God is in the delivering business. I'm thinking, as you're speaking tonight, Pastor, I remember a halfway house where I was in Canada, where there were a lot of guys had just come out of jail. It was a house that operated by faith. And one day they were, and I spoke to the people who actually saw this. They were standing in the living room, and they were so hungry. They had no money, and they had no food. And these are guys right out of prison. And they said, well, let's pray. And they were standing. It was a cold fall day, and they're looking out. I believe it was a cold fall day, and they're looking out. And one of the guys said, oh, God, we're so hungry, and you know that we're hungry. And we'd like some groceries, just like that lady across the street is going by with those two bags of groceries. We'd like groceries just like that. And he had just finished praying, and the lady had passed on the other side of the street. She stopped straight in her tracks, crossed the street, walked back to the house, walked up the front steps, and put the two bags down at the door and left. God answers prayer. Pastor Nick Cassidy, who's the head of the church, really, in a sense, in Ireland today, was in the car with his father and mother, were among some of the early Christians in that country. And they were driving down a country area, and it was a steep climb in the wintertime. And on the side of that climb was a very deep ravine. And suddenly they realized the car is not going to make it to the top, and it started to slide backwards and sideways. And there was a grave fear in the car that we're going to not just go down the side of this hill, but we're going to go into this huge ravine. And remembers his father and mother, I believe, crying out to the Lord. And suddenly two big burly men appear, and they more or less stopped the car from sliding and pushed it all the way up the hill. And when they got to the top of the hill, his father got out of the car to say thank you, and there's nobody there. Oh, doesn't the angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him? I'll get Pastor Cassidy to tell you the story himself the next time he comes, so you'll hear it right from the preacher's mouth. How's that? You got a battle tonight. You got a struggle. You got a trial. You have something from which you need deliverance. This is a real good time. If you've never answered an altar call in a long time, this is a real good chance to come to the front of this sanctuary. Brother Crandall's going to come back, and we're all going to pray together, and we're going to believe God. Let's stand. Annex as well, too. We'll wait for you. Just make your way out. Make your way here, and we're going to pray. We're going to believe God for your victory tonight. Whatever it is that you need, we're going to believe for that victory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Just lift your hands up tonight all over this place. That's right. And call on the Lord. Now we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray, but I want you to pray. God wants to hear your voice. He wants you to pray. It's personal. He wants to do for you. And this psalm is for you. And God is for you. And He wants to hear your prayer. And He wants to give you a testimony. Just like the testimonies you heard tonight and others, like yours will be so unique and so personal. God is a personal God. Now believe Him tonight as you call on Him. Call on Him with all of your heart. Out of the depths of your soul, call on Him and look to Him tonight and thank Him for it and ask Him. Don't be afraid to ask Him for what you need, for the needs of your life, to help you in the problem, whatever it is. Let's lift our voice right now to the Lord. Call on Him right now. Come to us now. Touch our needs. Touch our lives. Provide for our needs. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we ask you tonight, as we lift our hearts to you, that you will come on the scene. God, for those that need financial help, we thank you, God, that you are a God of finances. We thank you, God, for meeting their needs. For those that have physical needs, we pray tonight for healing power to go through their body. We pray for those with family problems. God, heal family problems tonight. Father, we ask for those that have fears of the future, God, let them trust in you tonight. All over this building, God, give us a new vision of you, of your greatness, of your kindness, of your willingness to hear and answer prayer. Hallelujah. Now thank Him tonight. Thank Him for what He has done. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Make a covenant with God. Make a covenant with God. I will never forget what you've done for me and what I'm asking tonight. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And make that a covenant that, God, I will not forget. I promise God in my desperate moments, God, I will never cease to praise you. I will never stop praising you. You helped me when I was so desperate, and He will help you tonight. And praise Him for it, and thank Him for it as you worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to do something for you. He wants to help you. He wants you to know Him. Not just us, you as well. Praise Him tonight and worship Him. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.